Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court. Be seated, please. Case number 08-5056, United States Postal Service versus American Postal Workers Union, appellant. Mr. Anderson for the appellant, Mr. Haynes for the appellee.
May it please the court. I'm Darrell Anderson for American Postal Workers Union. With the court's permission, I'll save 1 minute of my time for rebuttal. This morning I'd like to make, it was my intention to make three basic points, unless otherwise asked by the court. One is that the issue before Arbitrator Loeb, whose decision is before the court, was whether the employee in question was separated from her service with the Postal Service within her 90-day probationary period. And as also part of my first point is that Arbitrator Loeb had jurisdiction to decide whether or not she was separated within 90 days. Secondly, I'll discuss Arbitrator Loeb's opinion and explain how he based his opinion on the facts of the case before him and on the parties' collective bargaining agreement. Third, I'd like to discuss the Court of Appeals decision of the Fourth Circuit relied upon by the Postal Service and explain why that's different from this case. And I'll talk a little bit about the arbitrator's award that was before the Fourth Circuit. So those are the three things I'd like to address in the few minutes I have. With regard to Arbitrator Loeb's jurisdiction to decide the question of whether this employee was separated during the probationary period, the really critical piece to look at is the National Arbitration Award by Arbitrator Das, which is in the appendix, joint appendix at pages 69 to 93. Now, Arbitrator Das, as I mentioned, is a national level arbitrator for these parties. As such, he issues decisions that are binding on the parties and binding on other arbitrators at lower levels. And Arbitrator Das's decision, which was issued, and the dates may or not be critical as the court may see the case, it's not critical as far as I'm concerned, but it may be deemed critical by somebody. So let me just mention, Arbitrator Das's decision came in September 2001, which was after the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit made its decision in 2000. So Arbitrator Das.
Why do you think the Das opinion helps you?
Why does it help me? Because Arbitrator Das expressly held, Your Honor, that the question whether the separation occurred during the probationary period is arbitrable.
He also said that you can't look to see whether the employer complied with the particular requirements set forth in the handbook.
Just so.
That's what the arbitrator did in this case. Even you conceded you couldn't understand a piece of his award. He says ELM radically altered the scheme.
I think.
Meaning he, in deciding what he decided, he resorted to the handbook, which is exactly what Das said not to do.
I think the award's ambiguous, Your Honor. I think if you look at the passage in Arbitrator Loeb's award, which is at page 15 of his award, which I quoted in my brief and in my reply brief, Arbitrator Loeb very carefully, I think assiduously, parsed through both the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit decision and Arbitrator Das's award. And he well understood that the only question before him was whether or not the separation occurred during the probationary period.
But he cannot decide that by binding the employer to the handbook provisions, and he clearly did.
I think
having
not.
That he did not?
I think not, Your Honor.
Having declared that separation must take place during the employee's probationary period and having set the conditions by which it must terminate the employee, and he's talking about the handbook. And that's how he made his determination. So, I mean, if we had to defer to him on the factual findings, if he is rendering determination of the facts based on an incorrect legal premise, that is, he's not following what Das said.
I think he did follow what Das said, Your Honor.
Well, do you agree with this passage says it's a reference back? He is applying the handbook. He is saying, he said they radically the ELM radically altered the scheme provided in the contract.
Your Honor, I think what's critical here is that Arbitrator Loeb made key factual findings.
But if you do that pursuant to an incorrect legal standard,
Well, I don't think it's an incorrect legal standard, because the question is whether the separation.
Okay, well, let's do it this way. Okay. So here you have an employee who was told by her boss, "You're done. We're not retaining you. Clear out." She does, well before the probationary period termination. And that boss sends a note to another boss and says, you know, send a confirming letter. A confirming letter is sent. Not a letter saying it is now, you are now terminated. A letter saying this is to confirm your separation. She had already left, was gone. No one was confused about that, right? So now those are the facts in the record. Now, as I look at Loeb's award, what he did was to say, well, but in only way you can affect the termination or separation under the contract is by looking at the handbook, and this didn't follow the handbook procedures. Das said that's not what you do.
Let me, if I may, Your Honor, I'd like to ask, direct the court's attention to the letter the supervisor and the manager did send, which is at page 172 of the appendix. And the letter said, this is what the supervisor sent to the manager for labor relations. I am requesting that action be initiated to remove this clerk from the rolls effective January 30th, 1998. Right. I am requesting that the action be initiated. That's what the supervisor did. That was after he sent the employee home.
Right, and so, it was.
Well, and it was initiated.
Sentence. Read the next sentence of the next paragraph. Mrs. DeLessio was a probationary employee.
Well, that's it can be read that way, Your Honor, but...
That's the only way you can read those words.
Well...
If you read them to say Mary Adeline Lamb, you wouldn't be reading the words. The words say she was a probationary employee.
That's in the view of the supervisor, that may be
she's so. Acknowledged elsewhere that she was, in fact, terminated during the probationary period, right?
That's
in the EEOC proceeding. She acknowledged that, didn't
well,
she?
Well, but that was long after this.
Yeah, did she or did she not acknowledge
she,
it?
She did, yeah. but I think to hold her, a layperson, to that standard of saying if she used the word terminated, that therefore she was terminated.
Well, you know, the reason you do that is because if you cannot look at the handbook and hold the employer to the procedures that are outlined there, then you do what normal people do. You look at the facts as they occurred, and any normal person would say this person was separated. The only way that Loeb gets the result he gets is by saying there's a procedure that the employer was required to follow. Not having followed that procedure, the person was not separated. And Das said you can't do that.
I think any arbitrator, Your Honor, has to look at the facts of the case.
But not look at the handbook, which the lead arbitrator says you cannot use that to hold the employer to those procedures.
Actually, Your Honor, Arbitrator Das said it's permissible to look at the handbook. And so if Arbitrator Das was inconsistent with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, Arbitrator Das prevails. And let me refer you to a passage from his award. His award appears twice in here. I'm used to using pages 69 and 93 of the appendix. And what Arbitrator Das pointed out is that there is a passage in the ELM which describes how one is separated from the service. And it's not the damned, if you'll pardon me, I'm not cursing, Your Honor, it's not the condemned, it's not the condemned passage of the ELM that the Fourth Circuit said can't be used. And it's not the part of the passage of the ELM that Arbitrator Das said can't be used. It's, I think, 365.311. Now, it's 365.32 describes in all its procedural grandeur how someone, you know, what you have to go through to separate somebody from the service. And the courts said you can't do that, and other arbitrators have said you can't do that. Arbitrator Das said you can't do that. But you have to decide. If you're an arbitrator and you're faced with the question, was this person separated during the probationary period, you've got to decide it based on something. And so Arbitrator Das said, look, a separation means an action that results, this is point three, say 365.311, a separation is an action that results in the removal of the person from the employment rolls. I'm paraphrasing here, but it's close.
Leave.
But Your Honor, this is a contract.
Did the employee leave? You're assuming the company is bound by the ELM.
No, I'm assuming
in order to determine whether or not there's a separation.
No, Your Honor. In fact,
the employee left, right? The employee was no longer paid, right? The paperwork was started, right? And a confirming letter was sent, right? Any normal person, any normal jury, any normal fact finder would say that was a separated person.
Your Honor,
the only way you can beat that is for Loeb to say, but wait, there appear to be procedures here which bind the employer, and if you don't separate pursuant to those procedures, which Dodd said you can't follow, I'll read you the language again. He says you cannot look there. If you don't follow those procedures, there's no separation. Under your theory, she has back pay coming.
But what arbitrator Doss, what arbitrator Doss also said was that the separation, but this is a contract. This is a contract. This is not common sense. This is not were they terminated, were they fired. This is were they separated. The language of the contract.
Which is the contract?
Article 12. If you look in the appendix to appellant's brief, Your Honor, behind the green tab, behind the green partition, article, it's page 35 of appellant's brief. Article 12, the employer shall have the right to separate from its employee. It doesn't say they'll have the right to fire them, they'll have a right to terminate them, they'll have a right to send them home with no recourse. They'll have a right to separate them. Arbitrator Doss says separation means an action that results in the removal from the employment rolls. If all that happened in this case was the supervisor sent her home, says clean out your locker and don't come back, she never would have been separated from the rolls. So Arbitrator Loeb was looking at that and he said, you know, she hasn't been separated from the rolls by that supervisor's action. If he had done nothing else but send her home, she would.
Isn't the common sense of that, the separation from the rolls, is the administrative task that needs to be undertaken to take care of the paperwork that's got to follow up?
You know, Your Honor, with all due respect, this is a collective bargaining agreement. This is not common sense. This is an agreement between the parties.
Going back to the agreement, what language is it you're now calling our attention to? I've got 35, and I'm not sure what language it is you're referring to.
Okay, at the top of the page, Your Honor, the probationary, section 1, article 12, probationary period, the very first paragraph, says, first of all, it says the probationary period shall be 90 calendar days. Okay, the next sentence, the employer shall have the right to separate from its employee any probationary employee. Right. Now, that's a term of art, and the parties understand what that means.
How do we know that's a term of art that comes to the formal separation from the roles of the
Arbitrator Doss in his decision says that the term separate from employment means an action that results in removal of the person from the employment roles. That's what Arbitrator Doss said.
Where in Doss are you on that?
Let me just find it for you, Your Honor.
That's in JA 89, and Doss does say that, and he also goes on to say it's very different from determining whether a person has been separated and looking to see whether or not the employer has followed the procedures in the ELM, which arbitrators cannot do.
Yes, Your Honor, but if...
It's really interesting here that Doss cited only at JA 89... the separation is removal from the roles. He could have said the way you determine that is to look at the ELM procedures. He did just the opposite. He said you cannot look at the ELM procedures to determine whether the employer has affected a separation. That's your problem.
Well, but right? My problem is the dictum, the opener dictum, frankly, that Arbitrator Loeb put in his decision. But you know what? He said those words that all this ELM changed everything, but that's not what he did. What he did, if you look at his underlying decision, what he said was the supervisor sent her home, but he said, and this is at appendix page 218, and again, I apologize, his decision's in there a couple times, so I apologize for any inconvenience that may cause, but the one I'm using is at page 218 of his, it's page 15 of Arbitrator Loeb's decision. He said, look, he's relying on the facts of this particular case. He said the supervisor sent her home, said clean out your locker. The supervisor conferred with his manager. The supervisor and his manager wrote this letter to the labor relations manager saying initiate the removal proceedings. And he's saying, and then the letter which actually did have the effect of removing her from the roles was not written until after her probationary period.
Confirming.
Pardon me?
Confirming.
But Your Honor, the fact is...
That's the problem with Loeb. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do, but he also says the employer having set the conditions by which it must terminate the employee, referring to the ALM, failed to do it, so can't win.
But he didn't,
said that.
He said it, but he didn't rely.
He didn't really mean it.
He didn't rely on any of those criteria, Your Honor.
You know, it's very hard to put together his reference to radically altered the scheme in the contract and having set these new radically altered procedures in place and not having met them, the employer loses.
This is a little bit of inside baseball, Your Honor, because no reason why the court would have noticed, but in Arbitrator Loeb's decision, he parses all these other arbitrators' awards. He knows all these guys. He probably agrees with them. And he mentioned Arbitrator Marlatt, who's sort of a curmudgeon. And he said, look, if Arbitrator Marlatt had decided what he did, he would have lectured the Postal Service too. I mean, come on, you guys. Why do you put this stuff in your handbook? That's what he's saying here.
Right.
He's lecturing him. But he didn't decide based on that stuff. I mean, he got carried away with his own rhetoric.
And having set the conditions by which it must terminate the employer cannot prohibit the grievance from accessing the grievance procedure. That's not reflections. Those are not reflections. That's his conclusion. Having not followed the procedure, failing to follow the procedure, the employer loses.
But if you look at the bottom of page 15 in his decision, the facts he relied on are not those. And if you contrast them with Arbitrator Miles.
This is the legal standard he followed.
No, he applied the legal standard. Was there a separation from the service within the probationary period? That was what he applied. He returned to Article 12.
He still has to determine whether that. The answer is yes or no to that question. There has to be a standard by which he...
You know, let me just reiterate here, as the court well knows, and I don't mean to lecture the court on law that's very, very clear, but it's on my obligation to say it. The arbitrator is entitled to be wrong. He's entitled to be wrong. It may offend our sense of common sense.
Who decides arbitrability, counsel?
The arbitrator. The arbitrator.
The court doesn't have any role to play in determination of arbitrability?
If the parties submit the question of arbitrability to the arbitrator, which they did in this case, and the Fourth Circuit, by the way, acknowledged this in a footnote in their decision, if arbitrability is submitted to the arbitrator, as it is in this case, the Article 15, which is in this record, expressly provides that the arbitrator has the jurisdiction to decide arbitrability if the parties submit it to him.
And the standard of review is what?
The same standard of review as it is in any other decision by an arbitrator. The decision on arbitrability is final and binding. He's entitled to be wrong.
Oh, so now your whole argument has changed.
No, Your Honor.
Well, no, if that really were the case, there would be nothing to argue about. You would say, we have no authority to hear this case.
Well, you certainly have the authority.
The arbitrator can do whatever he or she wants to do.
The law is very clear. If I refer the court to the Supreme Court in MISCO, I think reviewed about 35 years of jurisprudence on the enforcement of arbitration awards. And the court said, look, even if he's guilty of improvident or even silly fact-finding, you know, even if the court strongly disagrees with the arbitrator's decision on the interpretation.
The trilogy is at the heart of the trilogy that an employer cannot be made to arbitrate a case where an employer has not agreed to arbitrate it.
That's correct. The employer agreed to arbitrate
this case. That's what we're reviewing, right?
No, the employer agreed to arbitrate this case. And this case, by the way, was the Postal Service tries to make it appear as though this case was the same as the case before the Fourth Circuit, because this case was actually contemporaneous with that. But it was held up. This case, as Arbitrator Das observed.
Did Loeb have an obligation to follow Das?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in Steelco, we're told when an arbitrator's words manifest an infidelity to his obligation, courts have no choice but to refuse enforcement of the award. So if we disagree with you, if we think that Das is controlling and that we think Loeb misconstrued Das, then we do have a role.
Well, certainly the court has a role at some point if they believe that his words manifest an infidelity. But I earnestly request that the court look, I think it's obiter dictum, this passage about, you know, The Postal Service is so dumb, you know, they put this stuff in their handbook and then they get stuck with it. That's not what he relied on. If you contrast it with what Arbitrator Miles was looking at.
You just said the key thing. Then they get stuck with it.
But that's what he said.
No, that's what you believe he applied, which is
Your Honor, that's not what I believe he applied.
Okay.
He made the findings of fact that I said he made, and he based his decision on those findings.
Unless my colleagues have further questions, your time has...
Oh, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
When we keep you talking, that's not your fault, so don't be apologetic.
I have one more thing I'm really anxious to say, and I'm betting the poster is going to give me an excuse to say it, so if I can have one more minute for rebuttal, I'll come back and say it.
We'll give you a little bit for rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Then we'll hear from the Postal Service.
May it please the Court, our position is that Article 12 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement is very straightforward. It says that a probationary employee cannot grieve a separation. Arbitrator Loeb took the position, despite what National Arbitrator Doss said, despite the Fourth Circuit position, Arbitrator Loeb took the position that you look at the Employee and Labor Relations Manual to see if the person was separated correctly.
What's our standard of review?
I would say it's de novo, Your Honor.
Where does that come from? On arbitrating, reviewing arbitration awards?
Certainly the standard of review, I was thinking in terms of your review of the district court decision. Being de novo.
District courts review. We're reviewing the same thing the district courts review.
Yes.
So it's like agency in that sense.
We don't dispute that the that review of an arbitrator's decision is very narrow, but it is permitted where the arbitrator acts contrary to the collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, really?
Well,
where is that coming from?
Arbitrators
act contrary to collective bargaining agreements all the time. I used to be one of them, and I've seen many of those awards, but courts don't review them. Employers try and get us to review them, but we say that's not our business. The arbitrator has the right to be wrong, and it's up to the parties to work it out. So now where are we going? What's the standard of review here? It seemed you had to come in with an answer to that.
Yes.
That's the hole on your side of the case.
Yeah, we cite the Enterprise Wheel
case. Yeah, well, what do you do with
case?
It?
It says
Enterprise and MISCO and what? What do we do with that? Can an arbitrator decide a question of arbitrability?
Usually not, but
usually not?
Yeah.
Well,
but here
they have to.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
It's logical. What is our standard of reviewing
standard
that
review?
Precise question?
Right.
But when they actually.
That's what we need to know here.
Right.
Yeah. When they're reviewing, when we're reviewing it, if the arbitrator violates the binding DOS national arbitration, that means the arbitrator has gone beyond what they're permitted to do.
Well, you're going beyond what we're asking you.
Right.
Right now, we want to know what the standard of review is that we apply to an arbitrator's determination of arbitrability.
Well, the arbitrator clearly has the authority to determine arbitrability. At least that's my understanding.
At least in the first instance.
Yeah.
Well, my response, I think, would be the same. It's very narrow. But this is one of the narrow exceptions because the arbitrator.
What are we talking about? What are you relying on?
Well, Enterprise Wheel. Enterprise Wheel, where it says when the arbitrator's words manifest an infidelity to the collective bargaining agreement, courts have no choice but to refuse enforcement of the award.
Now, that sounds like you're applying the same standard to arbitrability you would to any other determination made by the arbitrator. Is it the same standard of review for arbitrability as it would be for substance, or is it some different standard?
I think it would be the same, Your Honor.
What do you think? What are you resting on?
Just the language here in the United Steelworkers case and some other cases.
Like what?
We have them in our brief, Your Honor.
Yeah, some might call that a concession.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear that.
I said some might call that a concession, and you say it's the same as other.
Yes.
Substantive decisions.
Well, it's narrow. I think there's no question that it is a very narrow standard. 23 to 25. We quote Enterprise Wheel. We also quote a D.C. Circuit case from 1967 That dealt with the arbitrator deciding a question of law, which he had no authority to. But
the arbitrator had the authority to decide this question.
Yes, he did have that authority.
That's what we're trying to understand. There's no question the arbitrator had the authority to decide this question.
Yes.
Under what circumstances? I mean, some of the cases you're talking about is an arbitrator just deciding something that's not before them. That's what enterprise is typically talking about. It's not before the arbitrator, and the arbitrator just offers a result on that. This is something that was before the arbitrator. Now, the normal law is an arbitrator has the right to be wrong on a question that's before him or her, and the courts generally stay out of it.
But this, I think, is the narrow exception, because here...
Based on what?
He failed to follow Doss, and he failed to follow...
But that's true in all kinds of arbitration awards, where the arbitrator... We can look at it as smart lawyers and say, I wouldn't reach that result.
Yeah, if you assume he's wrong, then he failed to follow something.
Right.
The right to be wrong implies that sometimes arbitrators can fail to follow something, and still the court cannot do anything about it. Now, I think we're trying to decide if that applies to arbitrability questions,
right,
as opposed to the substantive questions within an agreement otherwise arbitrable. Is there a difference in an arbitrability question and a substantive question within the document?
Well, the difference would be where the arbitrator is faithless to the explicit ruling of the national arbitrator that binds him. Arbitrator Loeb was bound by Doss decision. So if he just ignores that.
He didn't ignore it.
Well,
you just think his opinion isn't very good, but he certainly didn't ignore it.
Well, it's true he didn't ignore it.
He discussed all kinds of things.
And then he said, well, under Doss, I can
decide whether or not there's a separation. Clearly he has that authority.
Counsel, are you helped or hurt by the Fourth Circuit's opinion here in footnote one of their opinion? They seem to be addressing the issue. I just wonder your views as whether that...
Yes, it says... looking at the Fourth Circuit, there is... We have it on page 3 of the printout.
Are you looking at footnote one?
I don't... Let me look, Your Honor. I think we're looking at something different. Wait a minute. I hate to say this, but I am not looking at the Fourth Circuit's decision. Let me find that, Your Honor.
If you can locate that.
Well, footnote one says arbitrability is presumptively a matter for judicial determination.
Keep going.
Yeah, I see.
Introduction.
Yes, but then they go on to say, unless they provide otherwise, the question of whether the parties agreed to arbitrate is to be decided by the court, not the arbitrator.
Unless they agreed otherwise.
Yeah, they've agreed otherwise. Keep going.
Well, at the end, I think it is, it comes back to the point that we're making. Did the decision draw its essence from the collective bargaining agreement? And here, given Article 12 of the collective bargaining agreement and giving the Doss national arbitration, we would submit that it doesn't draw its essence from the collective bargaining agreement.
So the fact that says the parties can agree to arbitrate arbitrability.
Yes.
All right. So how does that help you?
Well, that doesn't help until you get to the last sentence of footnote one, which actually uses language that I think is in the Enterprise Wheel decision. You know, is the arbitration decision does it draw its essence from the collective bargaining agreement? And it can't draw its essence where it's contrary to Article 12 and where it is contrary to the National Arbitration Award by Arbitrator Doss. Yes, the Loeb decision draws its essence from the ELM, the Employee and Labor Relations Manual, not the collective bargaining agreement.
Does Doss not refer to the ELM?
He does refer to it, but he points out.
The ELM is relevant sometimes, but not all the time?
Well, he addresses it by saying you can't decide if the person was terminated by looking at the ELM.
But he also says that separation is defined by the ELM, and that's binding.
Well, separation, he says separation is something that results in being removed from the roles.
That's from the ELM.
Yeah. All right. That so is from the ELM.
So but the ELM is relevant then, according to Doss.
To that specific point, which nobody disagrees. We agree that.
Well, what I'm saying is, so the ELM is relevant.
To a very limited point.
Does Doss say to a very limited point?
Well, he says you can't say that they violated, that you can't challenge a termination because the Postal Service did not follow the procedure set out in the ELM, which is have a written letter from the appointing official.
It says 365.32. Is that what you think Loeb was relying on?
Yes. He's relying to a provision of that, I think 365.325 or 6. But he's not, Loeb is relying on the fact that the Postal Service did not follow the procedures set out in the ELM. You know, before her 90 days were over, they didn't give her the letter. It wasn't from the appointing official, they didn't give her a letter before 90 days from an appointing official telling her when the reasons for her termination, the date of her termination, and it had to be delivered to her before the 90 days was over.
Question for you, if the Fourth Circuit analysis is right, that is, it's kind of a two-step here. You've pretty much given up the argument on arbitrability. The arbitrator can decide that, but now we're in an enterprise merits like termination. Enterprise is very, very narrow. What you're arguing here is this is a mistaken analysis by Loeb. And those cases should be routinely thrown out by the courts. Arbitrators made a mistake. They didn't analyze this correctly. And why shouldn't we just say, you know, sorry, that's your arbitrator. You're stuck with it. You pick it. It's your system. Go fix it in the system.
Well, I think that that is virtually always the correct approach. But here you do have, in the footnote 1 in the Fourth Circuit, pointing out that there are limits. When you decide arbitrability, there are limits. You just can't make something up. I mean, you can't say it's arbitrable. You violated the ELM, therefore you didn't separate the person. When the binding Doss Award says you can't take that approach. If the court has no further questions, that is all that I have.
Thank you, counsel. You used all your time. We'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal, counsel.
The court's been generous with his time, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Your Honor. Arbitrator Loeb did not make reference to the appointing official. That's not what he said. I agree with the Fourth Circuit's footnote 1. I believe that's a correct statement of the law.
I can see where you'd like it, yeah.
Well, beyond that, Your Honor, I actually petitioned for cert on this issue. I lost a case in the Fifth Circuit. And there was a leading Fifth Circuit decision called Delta Queen that said if the arbitrator decides arbitrability, there's a different standard of review, and that was applied in my case. I petitioned for a cert. And that was many years ago. And then a few years back, I remember seeing a Supreme Court decision come down. I think this has been resolved in my favor. Because I remember thinking, darn, I missed that boat, not to mention, not to make a pun on Delta Queen. But so I think that the I didn't brief this because the Postal Service didn't raise it. If the court would like supplemental briefs, that would be appropriate. Not necessary. I'm sure you find the law on that.
Anybody nodding their heads.
Okay. Yeah, you know how much I love to brief things. Let me just say this. Two things.
Why do you think footnote one helps you?
I'm sorry?
Why do you?
Because I think that there's a very narrow standard of review.
But that means there is something to review.
Well, absolutely.
The question is whether or not the determination on declaration of arbitrability draws its essence from the collective bargaining.
That's
agreement.
Right, Your
now,
Honor.
If we were to find, hypothetically, we were to find that Loeb really looked to the ALM and Das said you cannot, then it doesn't draw its essence from the collective bargaining agreement. Isn't that right?
No, I would disagree with that, Your Honor. I think that draws its essence. I mean, to read it that broadly and that to make that dichotomy is to say that the arbitrator can't be wrong.
No. Come on, let's do this real. Let's call the ALM anything. Let's say it's a manual out on the street somewhere. If the arbitrator decides the declaration of arbitrability based on that thing, whether it's an ELM or a piece of paper out in the street, it's not drawing its essence from the collective bargaining agreement, right?
I take your point, Your Honor.
So you lose on that one. If that's our finding, you lose, and even under this enterprise standard, right?
If that's all the arbitrator did, Your Honor, if
that is what we decide the arbitrator did, you lose.
The court has.
I understand your argument that you don't see the case that way, but if we find that that's what the arbitrator did, you lose, right?
I agree with you, Your Honor, but let me just say that the arbitrator's opinions should not be parsed the way judges' opinions are. These are not judges. I would grant you that, you know, your average federal judge is a whole lot better lawyer than your average arbitrator, and they probably have better judgment. But with all due respect, Your Honor, courts should not impose their own brand of industrial justice.
No. It's a simple
situations question.
Did Loeb, I don't care how smart or unsmart he is.
He may be smarter than Zoe.
That's right.
Never met him myself.
Did he draw... Is the essence of his award drawn from something that is external to the collective bargaining agreement?
And the answer is it is not, Your Honor. Right,
but you agree, if we find otherwise, you lose.
If it's external to the collective bargaining agreement, the essence of his award is drawn from external law, as it were, that's correct. May I say one other sentence, Your Honor?
Real quick.
Thank you very much. If there's a way to read his award that is consistent with the contract and a way to read it that is not consistent with the contract, the law is that his award should be honored. And this decision can be read in a way that's consistent with contract. Thank you very much.
Counsel, case is submitted. Call the next case.